Okay, welcome to the very first episode of my podcast about chatbots, voice bots, conversational interfaces, and artificial intelligence. Today I'm talking with two gentlemen from Synertrade, and they help large companies with e-procurement and recently launched their very first chatbot. I actually know Huib Kruger already for two decades now, I think, via a mutual friend. But I only just found out he's working at this very cool software company. One fun fact about Huib, he doesn't use Facebook, so he must have loads of free time to do more useful things with. Huib brought Jan Novak to the show, so I think it's a good idea if you guys introduce yourself. Who wants to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. Thank you, Barend. My name is Huib Kruger. I work for Synertrade now for 2.5 years. I joined them in the office in Amsterdam. My role is pre-sales. And what I do is I help procurement organizations transforming their procurement into a new digital way of working. Before that, I was in procurement, so I was in procurement basically all my professional life. So I know exactly what procurement teams deal with nowadays in their digital transformation.
Cool. Jan, how about you?
Sure, thanks. My name is Jan Novak. I'm also working for Synertrade now for 2.5 years. My role is here a little bit to overseeing the entire technical development. So we having three core development sites with almost 100 developers. So that's already quite time consuming, as you can imagine. But since that's not enough, I'm also driving the mobile and the AI development inside the organization. So, you know, that's more or less my fun part.
Okay, nice. And so what kind of software do you guys make?
Okay, at Synertrade, we have an e-procurement platform that's called Accelerate. Accelerate is a SaaS solution for procurement teams. And we can cover both the operational procurement side, basically the P2P process, and on the other hand, we do the strategic sourcing. So source to contract functionalities. On top of that, it's a full suite offering to our customers. We offer purchase intelligence as well. So you can have insights, 360 suppliers view to do basically better procurement than you did before.
Yeah, so you're making the lives easier of quite some people.
Yeah, that's the idea. So cool. It's not only efficiency, but it's also smart savings, basically.
Yeah. And can you name a couple of your clients? I saw some well-known brands on the website.
Yeah, we we cover a couple of well-known brands in the world. From, let's say, our history as a company, Synertrade, we have a strong footprint in Europe. So a couple of our customers are based in Europe. To name one, Lufthansa, for instance. And what we do there for them is harmonizing all their data. So we connected over 100 ERPs for them, all into one single Accelerate platform. So they can do really cool reporting and analysis on their spend. And on the other hand, one brand we are really proud of is Google. And Google is using our platform mainly on auctions. So they run a small functionality, but large in quantities in auctions they run. And they have had really sophisticated introductions of innovations as well there. So really cool. So we serve out of our customers out of Europe and out of our US office. And we have offices in Brazil and China as well. So we cover the entire globe, basically.
Wow, that's impressive, guys. And so Jan, when did Synertrade start to see the potential of chatbots?
When When we started the development of the chatbot, then actually we had a kickoff inside the company where we discussed, okay, what is the future of a procurement system in the next 24 to 36 months? So that was end of 2016. And out of this, we had a roadmap, right? So this roadmap was tailored toward, innovation, not only in the function side, but also technical part. And we decided, we're seeing a massive move in technical development in the next upcoming years. So topics like blockchain, but also chatbots, obviously, will change dramatically the way our businesses will operate. And we decided to dedicate an entire team in the center part of Germany to work exactly on this technology innovation. And this is our commitment for that. And so far we have been quite successful to going the first mile, but obviously we also want to extend that.
Okay. And so you created the chatbot. It's called Marvin, right?
That's correct.
Can
That's
you
correct.
Tell us what Marvin can do at the moment?
Marvin at the moment is primarily working on a part of the applications called invoicing. So it's one of our latest developments, also using state-of-the-art development like microservices, single-page application, a modern UI, tablet readiness. And Marvin is helping there to guide especially users which are not so familiar with our system, because we have to say that invoicing is also stepping a little bit of our traditional comfort zone of sourcing into the pay domain. Yeah, so it's so also accounting people. And we thought it would be cool if those people which maybe have not used our application before just have a natural way of interaction with the system. So they can have advanced filtering in there. They can view stuff. So in one of the next things, they also can approve it. They can make bulk approvals. So everything that you would expect from a system to ease and automate stuff according to, legal obligations, right?
Okay, nice. And did you choose a chatbot building platform or did you code it yourself? How did this go?
That was actually an interesting process, which also reflects the standard way of how we are doing. Because we are part of an innovation team. And whenever we're deciding about something new, we always have this classical make or buy decision, right? So that means we are checking the market, we're seeing what's available. And yes, we also tried some prototypes with, standard platforms like Dialogflow and so on. But what we found out was two things which stopped us to using those. One was the way of integrating our business logic tightly with the bot, right? That was one thing. And the second thing was actually also one thing that everybody knows since 25th of May, which is GDPR, right? We cannot prevent people from stating business critical information. And if you would have to state it in our TNCs, that would be a showstopper in almost every European country.
Yeah. That's right. So how did the first customers react on Marvin? Was it love at first sight? How did this go?
It's good that you're asking that. At the moment, we're in a state where we're inviting constantly customers to visit together with our pre-sales team. We're having a kind of, you would call it maybe an AI meetup, but in a more private way, and where we're then demonstrating the current capabilities. Even so, it's a little, at the beginning, maybe not fully fledged out to everything, but we can clearly give them a guidance on the, how it's going there. And where we're really proud of is that we are shaping Marvin also as a personality, right? It's not just a tool like a hammer. It also reflects friendly to questions outside of the comfort zone. It can do jokes. It can answer to how you're going, what's the meaning of life and everything, right? So this was really important that customers feel this naturality of interacting with the system.
Yeah, that's a really important aspect. That's a lot of times it's forgotten, but I'm glad you build it in.
Yeah.
So I always advise companies to start small and iterate from there when it comes to building bots. I guess you guys use the same approach.
Absolutely. That's why we started in one defined area, right? Where we knowing the use cases quite well. The use cases were also overseeable, right? Invoicing is not like a tender application where you have plenty of ways to get data in, process data, whatever. But obviously it was a good step for learning, right? We had We had some pitfalls, you know, we realized what is working, what's not working, also from an architectural point of view. One of the most critical points that also you stated, personality and speed, right? There is, from a UX perspective, a way until people not considering still a human being responding. So we find out this is between 1 and 2 seconds. So in that time, people still would appreciate the normal communication. When you wait 5 seconds, you usually discommend that as a way for interacting, because it just takes too long. Yeah. So, and all of these things went into development and gives us some boost for the upcoming bot integrations in our platform.
And did you also have consultants from outside, or was it an inside job?
Yeah, I would not call them consultants. What we are doing here, and it's also one of the attitude of our innovation team, we are living and breathing in co-working spaces. So that means we're constantly reaching out to other companies, maybe not of a similar domain, but you know, facing similar problems in terms of automation. And we also ask, okay, how have you done this? What is your experience? And I have to admit, it costs us not 5,000 euros per day, but often just a coffee. And almost you're getting the same information, quite valuable. Yeah.
Okay, that sounds good. And so I guess there's a roadmap to develop Marvin in the coming 1 or 2 years. Can you?
Absolutely. I think with Marvin, as you know, the personality of our general bot stream, we're having three major pillars we're working on. The first thing is this classical chatbot that everybody knows. It is also in the US. This is usually called guided buying. This is a term where you say a system is supporting you in the daily actions, be it the automation of stuff or just helping you to find stuff. The second part is, that's also what we're building by the end of the year, is our support bot that also many people know from pages. You are there the first time, you're waiting 10 seconds, and then some friendly bot is popping up and saying, okay, how may I help you, right? I mean, you have to understand that the ratio of internal to external users in our platform is usually 1 to 10. So, I mean, you're having hundreds of users versus thousands of external suppliers. And, you know, often they just, you know, experience the app the first time. So it's very helpful if they're getting guided into the first steps. Yeah. So, I mean, it also leaves pain out from our support organization, as you can imagine. Yeah. And the third pillar is actually alert bots, which working a little bit. These are, you know, the little minions in the background that's just checking whether some data all over the system leaving our comfort zones or thresholds. And then also using the Marvin communication channel to contact the user and say, hey, do you know that your contract is running out? Hey, do you know that some supplier got a bad rating in the 2 days before? You know, things like this.
Okay. And what other possible use cases do we see for bots in the e-procurement?
I would say that one of the most interesting part next to the classical thing was something that we did recently in Austin, Texas on a show fair together with Google. It was called a guided auction bot. So here it was not just to use the system. No, we also used the bot and our historical data to help the auction owner to create the auction given from a certain template. So it means an auction has multiple dimensions that you can customize and sometimes can be tricky in order to select the right auction type and parameters to achieve the best auction result. And the auction bot was there in order to exactly do that, right? To giving you the best possible template to achieve an outstanding savings to the auction.
Okay. Do you have an idea of how the landscape will look in 2 or 3 years for e-procurement regarding to bots? It's very fast, so it's hard to predict. But maybe
it's definitely an interesting movement nowadays. I mean, when you look in all the competition, everybody claims to have a bot, and I think it's a fair statement. I think I see maybe here a little bit of a two-folded movement. One will just use out-of-the-box bots that coming, you know, from the classical vendors, and I think they will stop on a certain level to have the deep integration, right? So that means you can do some automation on your system, that's fair enough, but you won't reach that level of a full depth understanding of your system because you're also lacking the opportunity to take data out of the bot and optimizing workflows according to that. So this is, I would call the lightweight bot experience, which I would consider in 2 or 3 years to be the standard. So I think almost none of the procurement vendors will survive a tender for customers without having this. But I think there will be a battle for this deep integrations. That's for sure. I mean, this is the point when maybe you're just surviving the, how to say, the pre-sales phase, yeah? And then it goes really into the UAT, the user acceptance testing. You're having 50 users and say, hey, show me what the bot is really doing for me, you know, if it's real. And those vendors which can show value there, I think they will become the top vendors. This is, I think, you know, they are the new rising stars.
Yeah, and I think what the big ones are all trying to do is generate bots as smart as we are with neural networks to make the natural language processing even more fluent and nicer to engage with. So do you build your own lexicons with lingo from your company and your kind of business? How do you do it?
Exactly. I mean, we're doing a little bit a two-folded approach also here. So we're having a base set of grammar, which we know, okay, this is given, right? So we're having business terms. Actually, we're doing localization also. That means our system is capable enough to configure per language given workflows, words, whatever. Because we see it's a fundamental thing because interaction is not only words which are different in languages. Flow is different, articulations and everything. So it's just a fundamental thing to respect that localization part. But more on that, you can envision this is in a process flow. You can say we're taking care of the first part. So when we find defined words in our grammar, we can act directly. But then there's also the unknown. That means with the users confronting us with words we don't know, whatever. And then we're definitely making a filter loop where we're going in a deep learning neural network and just, okay, we're trying to enrich the data that we have and we do anticipate what the user wants. And actually, for sure, the second part takes longer to train, but will over the course of time become a very powerful tool, right, into this engaging with new requests and so on, yeah?
And so how many languages can you serve now?
At the moment, we have 5 languages that we are supporting, so the 5 core languages, but obviously we're working continuously to support more, right? I mean, these are English, Spanish, Italian, French, and German, yeah? But obviously over the course, there's also Chinese, you know, Portuguese, Russian, and so on. I mean, our system has more than 30 languages. It's our aim to get at least the basic support for all of them.
Okay, cool. So I guess you use native speakers preferably for that?
In fact, that's I think one of the most critical tasks because you don't even just need only native speakers. You also need native speakers with a business acumen, right? Because it actually makes a difference how you call things in different languages. So we have to know about procurement. That's the real challenge. So we are taking advantage of our global footprint and we're looking for the most expert in each field, right? And also on their side, and they help training us the system as well.
Okay, cool. So do you guys have any takeaway for the listeners of this podcast? Some tips or tricks?
I would say that I think the main trend I'm seeing here is that, there's this typical Gartner hype curve that we all know, right? And I think bots are a little bit in the tipping point. I would say that everyone who has not yet been experienced a chatbot, just start doing it. Know about what they can do and what they can't do. Leaving aside a little bit about all the fear about the Terminator or whatever, and just consider these things as tools to ease your daily life. I think this is, you know, a good advice that I would give out to the users of the systems.
Yeah, that's a good one. Hype, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I'd like to add the perspective from the users of our platform. I mean, my takeaway would be don't be afraid of any of robots, basically, or chatbots. This will make your life easy and not only make it easier on the operational side, but can really help you to excel in your daily business. So when you look at risk avoidance or adding savings to your company, this is what you're paid for. And how could it be that a bot will help you in this, in achieving your goals? So don't be afraid of the bots.
Yeah, nice one as well. Well, yeah, that was a very interesting talk. Maybe we can repeat it and do a second episode in later this year, or whenever you guys feel like you're ready to show something new.
Would like to. Sounds like a plan.
Cool. Let's do that then. And thanks for now. Good luck with those bots, and keep it coming. Keep up the good work. Okay. See you guys. Bye-bye.
See you. Bye.
Bye-bye.